This is the Michael J. Epstein Memorial Library, and you're listening to Freeform Radio, 91.5 FM, WMFO Medford.
I know a woman in New Mexico.
What
Good Sunday morning. It is 5 minutes past the hour of 4 a.m. And you're listening to WMFO Medford 91.5 on your FM dial. It's Touch Free Farm Radio. We're also on the internet, www.wmfo.org. And we multicast on iTunes.com radio and YouTube. I'm your host, Don Lee Brown. On this Sunday, October the 23rd, 2016 edition of A Brown Perspective on Sport, talking sports here virtually every Sunday from 4 to 5 a.m. To get involved in the conversation, you have to call our new phone number, which is 1-855-915-WMFO. 1-855-915-WMFO. Just about anything and everything is fair game as far as the world of sports is concerned. Certainly love to hear your perspective, what's going on out there in your neck of the woods. The number again, 1-855-915-WMFO. If you like numbers, it's 1-855-915-9636. Be right back. Okay, 8 minutes past the hour of 4 a.m. here on WMFO in Medford. I'm Donnelly Brown, another edition of A Brown Perspective on Sports. 46 chilly degrees outside. That's New England for you. We were up near 80 not too many days ago. And here we are down in the chill zone. So, anyway, we'll bring you that weather update along about, maybe around 6:30 on the Sounds of Praise Ministry. That's programmed by hosts right after A Brown Perspective on Sports. Great gospel music coming your way. And so you stay tuned for that in-depth weather update so that you'll know how to dress if you're living in this area, that is. How to dress as you go out today. You're going to church today, right? Yes, you are. I know you are. Okay, 9 minutes past the hour of 4 a.m. Let's get right into the scores. Yesterday, Major League Baseball is winding down as the Cubs defeat the Dodgers 5-0 to win that series, National League series. 4-2. Hendricks got the win over Kershaw. And now it's Chicago versus Cleveland in the World Series. And the upcoming games are Tuesday and Wednesday at Cleveland. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at Chicago. And if necessary, Tuesday and Wednesday at Cleveland. They're all night games in cold weather cities. And I remember way back during the NBA era where Red Auerbach was winning championships one after the other, he complained about having the best record, but then having the first five games in the three of the first five games in the home of the team with the second best record. And he thought that wasn't fair. And I think for a while they did change it to two games at home for the team with the best record, and then two games on the road, and then it went 1-1-1. But I guess traveling back and forth to Los Angeles to Boston. That didn't work out too well as far as, I guess, finances and timing and everything else. So I don't know what they do in Major League, in the NBA anymore. But in baseball, it's 2-3-2. So if you have the best record, like Chicago, and here again, that doesn't even work. Because now in Major League Baseball, the team that wins the All-Star game, the league that wins the All-Star game, gets most of the home games. So, hey, I don't know. You flip a coin, whatever. But anyway, it's World Series time. Like I said, it's in all cold weather cities. If it snows, as a matter of fact, these last two games, I believe, are in November. Because, like I said, there's 46 degrees out here now in Boston, so you can imagine it's going to be chilly. Bring your long underwear. I'm rooting for Cleveland in that series. Why? Because Terry Francona, Mike Napoli, Miller, and maybe a few other people that I can't remember are all with Cleveland now. And so therefore, you know, hey, it's like a Red Sox reunion outside of Boston. So you go Cleveland. I guess the Cubs are going to be heavy favorites, although Cleveland's had time to rest. But the Cubs pitching has not been bad, and the hitting has come around the last games. And so therefore, I guess people who keep track of that stuff, betting and everything else, will go with Chicago as the favorite. One of the notes, Chicago has not been in the World Series. The Cubbies have not been in the World Series since 1945. 1945 with their last appearance in the World Series. And they haven't won a World Series in, I don't know, when, 98 years, something like that? I don't know, long time. But anyway, I guess the Cubs may turn things around if they get the opportunity. We'll see how they play. Maybe I think the younger players with the Cubs, who most of them have not had, you know, playoff experience, were having difficulties with the jitters in the first games of the playoffs against the Dodgers. And so it's like the Red Sox young players probably had the jitters also as well. But anyway, it should be interesting. Like I said, if you like cold weather baseball, just draw it by the fireside and see what happens. I think it'll be a good series. Probably go 7. But I'm rooting for Cleveland. 4:13 here on WMFO and Metro 91.5 in your FM dial is Touch Free Form Radio. Did I mention you can download the WMFO mobile app, 91.5fm.org? And so you can take us on the road with you wherever you're traveling. Okay, if you're traveling this hour in the morning, what are you doing up at this hour of the morning traveling? Maybe you're going home. Hopefully that's what you're doing. 4:14 here on WMFO in Medford, 91.5 in your FM dot. Before we get on to that, let me get back to one of my pet peeves. Here we go. Why in the world is there not a designated hitter in both leagues? If you haven't heard me say that before, you're going to hear me say it again and again and again and again and again and again until they change it. It does not make any sense. You're giving the National League team a tremendous advantage. First of all, because they go the whole year without a designated hitter, so their pitchers probably know how to bunt and do all the other stuff. They may have some good hitters in the lineup too as well, like Bumgarner and Kershaw are good hitters. Anyway, then the American League team goes in there. They have to, you know, work with the number 9 hitter as a pitcher, when they've been going with the DH all year long, and the DH could be one of the better hitters, like a David Ortiz, and you got to figure out, can you play him at first base, or you sit him in some games, or whatever, you know. And then when the National League teams come into American League clubs, American League cities, what do? They use the DH. Dumb. Level the playing field. Everybody use the DH. You want to see a pitcher go up there and swing and watch 4 pitches go by, whatever, you know. And this double switching stuff to me. If you like that, go ahead. You can do it with the DH too if you want. I don't care. Nothing turned me on as far as making the game any better or more interesting or anything else. Okay, 4:15 here on the. And I'll repeat that probably, I don't know how many more times before the year is out. Anyway, 4:15 here on WMFO in Medford, 91.5 in the FM dial, Touch Freeform Radio, or also on the internet, www.wmfo.org. We multicast on iTunes.com, radio, and YouTube. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown. This Sunday, October, I want to keep saying September, October the 23rd, 2016. Edition of a Brown Perspective on Sports here virtually every Sunday, talking sports from 4 to 5 a.m. You want to get involved in the conversation, just have to give me a call. 851-855-915-WMFO. 1-855-915-WMFO. Be back.
I'd like to apply for a student loan?
Wonderful. We just need to verify that you've registered with Selective Service.
But I haven't registered.
Oh.
Hi, I'd like to sign up for a job training program.
Fantastic. This program is great for learning the skills that help you get a good job. Let's just check to make sure you've registered with Selective Service.
Well, I haven't registered.
Oh.
Thank you for letting me interview for this government job. I'm really excited about working here.
Well, yes, but your records indicate that you're not registered with Selective Service. I'm sorry.
Young men who fail to register with Selective Service can find a lot of doors closed to them. The law requires that all men register with Selective Service within 30 days of their 18th birthday. If you don't, you lose your right to receive student loans and job training, and you're shut out of federal employment. Don't close the doors to your future. Register with Selective Service online at www.sss.gov or at your post office.
And the message is brought to you by friends here at WMFO, Sounds of Praise Ministry, and a Brown Perspective on sports. I'm waiting for some man to file a lawsuit saying, you know, okay, if I have to register at 18, what about my sister and that cute girl down the street? Well, you know, since the women are supposedly doing all the things that the men are supposed to be able to do in the military, I think registering would be one of the things they'd have to do also, since there's so many important things that are, you know, denied if you don't register. So, anyway, we'll wait and see what happens on that one. It's 421 here on WMFO. And on the other hand, I am opposed. I'm against. If a woman wants to join the military, that's fine. There are other, certainly a lot of jobs that are there in the military that a woman could do. But in the front lines, fighting and all that other stuff, you know, hey, you need to defend yourself if something happens and you're in a critical area. But infantry and other places in the Marines and the Navy, you know, hand-to-hand combat, stuff like that, I think I would rather have them filling other positions as, you know, myself. But that's just me. 422 here on This Was a Sports Show. What am I doing talking about that stuff? But I figured, hey, it seems like that's something that's going to happen. 422 here on WMFO in Medford, 91.5 in your FM dial on the internet, www.wmfo.org. We multicast on iTunes.com, radio, and YouTube. And I'm your host, Donnelly Brown, on this Sunday, October the 23rd, 2016 edition of A Brown Perspective on Sport, talking sports here virtually every Sunday from 4 until 5 a.m. To get involved in the conversation, you got to call our new number, which is 1-855-915-WMFO. 1-855-915-WMFO. College football coming up next here on A Brown Perspective on Sports on Thursday night. Boise State defeated BYU 28-27. Yesterday, Alabama 33, Texas A&M 14. Upset, 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 upset. Penn State unranked defeated Ohio State, ranked number 2, 24-21. Michigan 41, Illinois 8. Washington 41, Oregon State 17. Louisville 54, North Carolina State 13, Nebraska 27, Purdue 14, Wisconsin 17, Iowa 9, upset, 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 unranked SMU defeated Houston, who's ranked number 11, 38-16, West Virginia 34, TCU 10, Now, this has to be the football game of all football games. If you like scoring, Oklahoma 66, Texas Tech 59. They never heard of defense. Maybe they had the cheerleaders playing on the defensive, on both defensive teams. Anyway, I know the cheerleaders are all going to be mad at me about that and also about the registration. But, hey, you know, that's what controversy is all about, I guess. Other scores. Upset, upset, upset. Auburn, ranked number 21, defeated Arkansas, ranked number 17, 56-3. Charles Barkley is proud of those Auburn, whatever they are, Tigers, I guess. Utah, 52. UCLA, 45. Another barn burner if you like scoring. Western Michigan, 45. Eastern Michigan, 31. North Carolina, 35. Virginia, 14. Upset, upset, upset. LSU, ranked number 25. Defeated Mississippi, ranked number 23. 38-21. And Navy, 42. Memphis 28. So there you go. That's the top 25 teams in college football and what happened yesterday. And I'm assuming that Michigan will move up to number 2. And Ohio State will at least fall to 3, maybe even further after their loss. 425 here on WMFO in Medford, 91.5 in the FM dial on the internet, www.wmfo.org. And we multicast on iTunes.com, radio, and YouTube. I'm here with Donnelly Brown on this Sunday, October the 23rd, 2016 edition of A Brown Perspective on Sports, talking sports here virtually every Sunday from 4 to 5 a.m. To get involved in the conversation, you have to know our new phone number, 1-855-915. WMFO 1-855-915-WMFO. Just about anything and everything is fair game. As far as the world of sports is concerned, I'd love to hear your perspective on what's going on out there in your neck of the woods. And like I said, to do that, you have to give me a call. 1-855-915-WMFO. I'll be back.
There's a threat targeting America. One that's growing fast, but may still be hard to see. Lyme disease. Spread by tiny ticks, often smaller than the head of a pin, this dangerous disease is now more widespread than West Nile, tuberculosis, and HIV/AIDS combined. And if left untreated, it can lead to arthritis, facial paralysis, and even memory and concentration problems, often called brain fog. As the threat of Lyme disease grows to more than 300,000 projected cases each year, it's time for us to target Lyme disease. That means checking for ticks when you've been outside, even in your own backyard. It means seeing a doctor if you experience the symptoms of Lyme disease, which can include joint pain, flu-like symptoms, fever, fatigue, or sometimes a bullseye-shaped rash. Set your sights on stopping Lyme. Learn how you can target Lyme disease at targetlyme.org.
And the message is brought to you by your friends here at WMFO, Sounds of Praise Ministry, and A Brown Perspective on Sports. 4:30 is the Brown Perspective on Sports. Time on your host, Donnelly Brown. We're talking sports here virtually every Sunday from 4 until 5 a.m. To get involved in the conversation, you just have to give me a call. 1-855-915-WMFO. Virtually anything and everything is fair game as far as the world of sports is concerned. Okay. National Hockey League. That's where we're going to go next. Okay, yesterday, bad news for the Bruins. Canadiens 4 and the Bruins 2. Lightning 4 and the Senators 1. Red Wings 3 and the Sharks zip. The Panthers 5 and the Avalanche 2. New Jersey 2 and the Wild 1. It was a wild one, except New Jersey 1. Flyers 6 and the Hurricanes 3. The Rangers 4 and the Capitals 2. The Blackhawks 5 and the Maple Leafs 4. That was a shootout. The Predators 5 and the Penguins 1. The Blue Jackets 3 and the Stars zip. The Blues 6 and the Flames 4. And the Kings 4 and the Canucks 3. That was also a shootout. In that Bruins game, no scoring in the first period. But at 11:41 of the second period, Gallagher for the Canadiens got his third goal of the year with Pacioretty and Galchenyuk, I guess that is Galchenyuk. Galchenyuk also got an assist on that goal. Canadiens at one zip. At 17:44, Denault got his first goal of the year with assist from Radulov and Petrin, and that made it 2-0 Montreal at the end of two periods. In the third period, Dominic Moore got his second goal of the year for the Bruins with assists from Schaller and Asiari at 5:34 the third period, making it 2-1. Now, I got to tell you, since I don't follow hockey that closely, and we Bruins have so many new players, I got to acclimate myself to some of these names myself. But that lead was short-lived as Byron got his first goal of the year shorthanded for Montreal, making it 3-1. But at 8:09, that was at 7:32 of the third period. At 8:09 of the third period, Ryan Spooner came back with his first goal of the year on the power play with assists from Backus and Krejci, and that made it 3-2. But at 12:47, Mitchell put it away with his third goal of the year unassisted. His third goal of the year, this one was unassisted. And that made it 4-2, final score, Canadiens 4, and the Bruins 2. Price had 19 saves for the Canadiens, and Khudobin, playing in place of Tuukka Rask, had 25 saves for the Bruins. So the Bruins were outshot in the game. And that when you get outshot, generally, you lose the game. Unless you got great goaltending. And the goaltending, got the guy had 6 more shots than his opponent. But anyway, you only could stop 4. Didn't stop enough. His opponent stopped 2 of them. Anyway, let's move right along. The Bruins, haven't seen a Bruins game this year yet. I haven't seen a part of a Bruins game, I don't think. If I did, it wasn't enough to register. With this old brain. But Bruins supposedly, with all these new young players, are going to try to play a more up-tempo type of offense. And what I've said for the past 2 years, what I've said since the Bruins won their last championship, that it seemed like the team had slowed way down. Everybody was flying around the ice all on the other teams, and the Bruins were, I guess they were trying to play, big, bad, tough Bruins hockey, which is not bad, But you got to score, and you got to keep up. And if the other teams are faster than you are, it ain't going to happen. But with all these new players, hopefully we'll be able to play both solid defense, rough, tough defense, and also be fast enough to get down the ice and score some goals as well. And since I was just mouthing off a little while ago about my pet peeve about the DH ridiculousness between the American League and the National League. Here's another pet peeve I have with pro hockey. When are they going to outlaw fighting? What is the point? Especially now we have all this new information about concussions and everything else and how people are dying. I just read the MMA person passed away at the age of 25, and they found that he had the brain disease from several concussions. Yeah, you get hit in your head. I stopped watching boxing when I discovered, I was told that how the brain reacts when it gets hit when you get a punch in the head. And so, therefore, you see the results with the late Muhammad Ali and so many other people, you know, primarily due to all the punches that they absorb. And the same thing with hockey. I mean, hockey is a, you know, rough enough game out there. You got sharp skates, you got sticks, you can whack people into the boards and check them on the ice and all that other stuff, which is legal if you do it, you know, properly. So why fight? What's the point of fighting? Let's eliminate fighting from hockey. Amen, 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 and amen. I've preached my sermons for today. It's 4:36 here on WMFO in Medford, Massachusetts, 91.5. And talking about mixed martial arts, you know, I just heard that Robert Kraft and some other people had just invested in the mixed martial art. It's like, I think a sports writer said that mixed martial arts is like human dog fighting. If dog fighting on the animal level is eliminated, what about human dog fighting? Yeah, it's like, yeah, okay, you can do virtually anything. Bite, you can kick, you can... it's like, do we really need that? I mean, really? Yeah. professional wrestling was dumb enough, but mixed martial arts, to me, we're just waiting for somebody to get killed in the ring. That's and maybe then there'll be an outcry. But we'll see what happens. 4:37 here on WMFO in Medford. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown. On this another edition of Brown Perspective on Sports, talking sports here virtually every Sunday from 4 until 5 a.m. to get involved in the conversation, you have to call 1-855-915-WMFO. 1-855-915-WMFO. I shall return, I promise.
After thousands of years, after crippling millions of children, polio will soon be stopped forever. All over the world, people are joining the men and women of Rotary to end polio now. People like Jackie Chan and Jane Goodall.
We are this close.
This close.
People like Archbishop Desmond Tutu.
This close.
People like you. Help Rotary end polio now by texting polio at 90999. We are this close.
And the message is brought to you by friends here at WMFO, Sounds of Praise Ministry, and the Brown Perspective on Sport. 4:42 with the Brown Perspective on Sport. Time, things are just flying around here. And let's get right into the National Football League. As you know, as a regular listener, we have this torrid contest I have with my son, Scott, my grandson, Kyle, and our two friends, Kenny and Bill. And you won't believe what happened last week. I had such a terrible week. After leading from the beginning of the football season, I've fallen, and I can't get up. I've fallen into a tie for third place. Right now, Kenny leaped from third place into first place with a tremendous 12-3 record last week. I won't tell you what my record was. It wasn't 12-3, that's for sure. Kenny's in first place with 56 wins and 36 losses. Scott is in second place. He has 55 wins and 37 losses. And I'm tied with Bill for third place with 54 wins and 38 losses. And Kyle, he's too busy working and making recordings. He's bringing up the rear 46-46 on the season. Well, we all got off to a good start this week because everybody picked the Packers over the Bears, and that was no big surprise. And people talking about attendance falling off during some of the week night games and the Sunday night games. And they've been saying, well, there have been a lot of things going on. There have been the debates, you know, and other things going on which have, you know, drawn more attention. So maybe that could be part of the problem. But I think some of the games have been just terrible as far as the quality of the games are concerned. I can't understand why so many weak teams who have, you know, low round picks, you know, or high picks, however you want to call it, in the draft, are still, you know, mediocre at best. And at worst, I could call them some other M word, but hey, I won't. Anyway. Okay. So anyway, I'm going into this week with this pick. I got the Packers over the Bears, so I got one, but everybody else got the Packers over the Bears also. I got the Giants over the Rams, and mediocre, really. I don't think anybody's going to say, oh, the Giants are shoo-in, or the Rams are shoo-in for the Super Bowl. Nobody would say that. Nobody who knows what's going on. And that game can be played in England, and I guess they're trying to, you know, if we have a bad product, let's see if we can spread it around the world. And because it's new, maybe they'll come out and support us. But anyway, Giants over the Rams, and that game is going to be on in about 5 hours or so. I got the Chiefs over the Saints, and the Chiefs and the Saints. The Saints have been mediocre for quite a while, ever since the kind of gate it was. Trying to kill your people gate. They've been mediocre ever since that, primarily because they've, you know, have not improved their defense at all. I got the Colts over the Titans. And here again, no one's going to jump up and say, oh, the Colts and the Titans are shoo-ins for the Super Bowl. I got the Eagles over the Vikings. Now, the Eagles started off great. The Vikings are undefeated. But I give them a star for playing without two of their stars. And their defense, I guess, is supposedly the best in the league right now as far as, you know, points allowed and whatnot. But I'm taking the Eagles. I think the streak ends here. And the Eagles started off great, but I think they have a better offense. And I think the game is in Philadelphia as well, so I'm giving them that. I got the Bengals over the Browns in Ohio is going to win at least one game this week. Since Ohio State lost, the Bengals or the Browns are going to have to win, and I think the Bengals will probably prevail in that one. I got Washington over the Lions. And here again, these teams are bad year after year after year. And they're getting draft picks all the time. I guess they're getting poor draft picks. Whatever. I got the Raiders over the Jaguars. I think the Raiders are an up-and-coming team. They didn't look like they were up-and-coming last week. But I'm going to stick with them. Jacksonville is improving also, but I got the Raiders over the Jaguars this week. I got the Bills over the Dolphins, and I really can't wait until next week. What's happening next week? Patriots going to Buffalo next week. So, payback time. Maybe we should always say you shouldn't look ahead, but I'm looking ahead. I'm not playing. You know, hey, if the players look ahead, that could be bad. If I look ahead, hey, I'm just a fan. But I got the Bills over the Dolphins. The Dolphins, mediocre. The Bills have been playing well since that win in Arizona. I got the Ravens over the Jets. And, you know, these two teams were really good. I won't say really good, but, you know, they were contending for quite a while. And now they both have fallen. And as far as the Ravens are concerned, you know, I'm not sad about their fall. As my son calls them, snitchers. I got the 49ers over the Bucks. This is my upset pick of the week. And both of these teams, mediocre at best. I got the Chargers over the Falcons. The Chargers defense, because of Joey Bosa, has turned this team around. Maybe? Oh, we shall see. Falcons, they've been in and up and out and up and around. And I still think their defense is suspect. So I'm taking the Chargers over the Falcons. I got the Patriots over the Steelers. And to be truthful, I wish that Big Ben Roethlisberger was playing today. But here again, nobody cares or nobody cries when one of the key Patriots players go down or when our best player is suspended without cause for four games. But I'm taking the Patriots over the Steelers. Steelers with Ben, a healthy Ben, you know, were one of the contending teams. You would say Steelers got a shot at the Super Bowl, or at least, you know, going deep into the playoffs. But without Ben, they may barely squeak into the playoffs. I got the Seahawks over the Cardinals. Seahawks have not been the same since they lost to us in the Super Bowl. Hey, and the Cardinals, they have not been the same since they lost to us. And they were so certain. The Cardinals were so certain that they were going to beat us without Brady in the first game of the season and with Garoppolo, who had not started a game in the NFL in his entire career. And when we whopped them up there, down there, wherever they are over there, you know, I think they've had Patriots-itis ever since, and they've been playing up and down, and neither defense or offense have been sparkling as, you know, some people thought they would be a contender. Could have been a contender. Okay. And on the other hand, if Sherman stops fighting with his coaches and teammates, I still think the Seahawks have a good chance of winning that game. I got the Broncos over the Texans, and I guess my question is, can Vince Wilfork play quarterback? Since Osweiler has not done well, and Watt's not there to anchor the defensive line for a while. So, hey, Bill Tidwell passed in his picks. He's got the Packers, the Rams, the Chiefs, the Titans, the Vikings, the Bengals, the Lions, the Raiders, the Bills, the Ravens, the Bucks, the Falcons, the Patriots, Seahawks, and Broncos. So we'll see if we remain tied. If I move back in the first place, I didn't get Kenny's picks, but I think Scott passed on his picks. Yes, I have them here. And he had the Packers over the Bears. You got the Giants over the Rams, the Chiefs over the Saints, the Colts over the Titans, the Vikings over the Eagles, Bengals over the Browns, Washington over the Lions, Raiders over Jaguars, Dolphins over the Bills. Get the Dolphins over the Bills, okay? Ravens over the Jets, 49ers over the Bucks, Falcons over the Chargers, Patriots over the Steelers, Seahawks over the Cardinals, and the Broncos over the Texans. And like I said, Kyle and Kenny, they got the opening night, Thursday night game, correct, Bears over the Packers. Okay, 4:52 here on WMFO, Medford, Massachusetts, 91.5 on your FM dial on the internet, www.wmfo.org. We multicast on iTunes.com, radio, and YouTube. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown, on this Sunday, October 23rd, 2016 edition of a Brown Perspective on Sports. We're talking sports here virtually every Sunday from 4 to 5 a.m. To get involved in the conversation, you just have to give me a call. Our new phone number, 1-855-915-WMFO. 1-855-915-WMFO. We'll be back.
When I started speaking out about DVT, deep vein thrombosis, I hoped people would listen and talk.
Each year, 2 million Americans are diagnosed with DVT.
Up to 200,000 people die from its complications.
My husband was one of them. While on assignment in Iraq, David died from complications related to DVT.
DVT is a blood clot in your legs that can break loose and travel to your lungs with potentially fatal complications.
I survived.
My brother-in-law wasn't so lucky.
But DVT can be prevented. Know the risk factors and the warning signs.
If you have restricted mobility for an extended period of time,
a prior DVT,
have cancer,
or certain heart or respiratory diseases,
these could lead to a life-threatening complication of DVT called pulmonary embolism.
I was lucky.
Very lucky.
Get the facts at PreventDVT.org and talk to your doctor about whether you are at risk.
And that message brought to you by friends here at WMFO, Sounds of Praise Ministry, and a Brown Perspective on Sports. 4:55 is the Brown Perspective on Sports time. My host, Donnelly Brown, talking sports. They've been on the air since about 4:05. And got the final five minutes coming up. And we're going to talk NBA and the Boston Celtics. How about that, sports fans? Latest edition of Sports Illustrated has the Boston Celtics as the second best team in the East behind the Cleveland Cavaliers. I don't know. Maybe. Trying to settle the roster. You know, Brad Stevens has been playing a lot of the younger guys. I'll say this. Terry Rozier is going to be a monster coming off the bench. You no sooner get your point guard, you know, hopefully, you know, getting some rest after running around behind Isaiah Thomas, and Rozier's going to come in, and he's going to be just as fast, if not faster. I mean, he's beating some people off the dribble that is just, you know, it's a 1-2 punch that's going to be difficult to stop. Rozier, I believe, is going to be scoring in double figures this year, and that'll make the bench that much better. Now, we do have some questions. We do have some problems. Kelly Olynyk has not been cleared to play yet after coming off shoulder surgery. Who's going to be the starting power forward on the second team? I would say probably the way it's going now, it might be Jaylen Brown. But I would rather see Jaylen, you know, at 6'7", playing small forward. I think he can kill small forwards. Why work him out so hard at power forward when that's probably not going to be his long-range position? As Jaylen continues to improve, he and Crowder are going to be a 1-2 punch at the small forward position. Now there's supposedly this battle between Young and Hunter for the 16th spot on the roster. 15th spot on the roster, I guess they have 16 players with guaranteed contracts. I don't know. Right now, I would lean toward Young if it's just a Young Hunter decision. If it's a decision that includes other people, I would say that I would throw Gerald Green and Jonas Jerebko into the mix and determine out of those four, which of the three would I want to keep. It seems like Jordan Mickey is in there. He showed enough, I guess, to warrant a spot on the ball club. So that's going to be interesting to see what Danny Ainge does. The teams with Al Horford should be a much better defensive team. And he'll rebound as much as Sullinger. And he'll also do so many other things by hitting the outside jump shot and be able to beat people off the dribble and even bring the ball up court. We still lack that, you know, Amir Johnson's going to be our center, but we still lack that killer offensive person on the inside that we would like. And Amir plays good defense. I would prefer to see somebody inside that we know could also play defense and get some offense for us as well. But it doesn't look like it's going to be going to happen this year. And if everybody plays well, stays healthy, like unlike Marcus Smart, who, you know, what can you do? You step on somebody's foot, you twist your ankle. That's part of the game. So anyway, I look for good things for the Celtics. Are they the second best team in the East? Time will tell, since I haven't seen all the teams in the East. Okay, 4:59 here on WMFO at Medford. Time to put the wraps on this edition of A Brown Perspective on Sports. Invite you to stay tuned for Sounds of Praise coming your way. We have a special program today entitled The Amazing Love of Jesus. Don't go anywhere. You are going to be blessed. If you're going to go somewhere, get up and call somebody. Tell them to tune in to WMFO Medford 91.5 on your FM dial. If you're outside of our listening area here, you can get us on the internet, www.wmfo.org. See you next week, 4 a.m. on another edition of A Brown Perspective.